The focus has always been on how much do we pay for the contract? What is the amount that is involved in the contract? And you sort of test that based on the quality of what you get. That is something that also Finn mentioned yesterday. That has been the overriding way of looking at procurement for a very long time. But now we want something different. We also want to go for other things, like the things that were shown in the definition. When we focus on food and catering, it's about the experience you have when you eat food. It's about the pleasure you get out of it. It's about using food for educational purposes, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, you have the sustainability externally in society, environment, economics, and social. So we have a more complicated picture than the traditional approach suggests, where you just look at price quality, then you go for the one that gives the most quality at the lowest price. Another thing that you have to include are what you could call transaction costs. And these are the costs that are actually associated with all the work that you do. With, for instance, having a dialogue with suppliers, or looking at follow-up on contracts, which we will discuss after lunch. So that's important to also look at. Basically, the idea is that you have a much more complicated picture of costs and benefits of procurement than we traditionally assume. What are the costs? The price of the contracts, then these transaction costs. The price of the contract is something that we can, of course, see. And that's also true for a large part of the transaction costs that you make, because basically that is the salaries of the people that work on procurement. So they come back in budgets and in planescap of the organizations as operational costs for procurement. Of course, you have to realize that if you look at the whole procurement process, you're not the only one that makes costs. Also, the suppliers have to make costs in order to get a contract and to execute the contract beyond what they get for the actual supply. So that also means that you have to look at how these costs are divided across the two parties. For instance, if you think about the use of meritwaarde that you mentioned this morning, that's a very efficient way to sort of reduce the transaction costs for both parties. If the supplier could say, hey, I have this certification as a purchaser, you could say, okay, certification is there, and you don't have to go into the details in every case. This is something that, by and large, is visible. The problem is that if you look at the benefit side, it's not so visible, less visible. Well, it should be visible, but it's hard to measure in terms of money. Still, there's something that we can say about that. We can say something about what should be, in a theoretical sense, the optimal amount of effort that you make. Let's say something about time and effort. How much do you invest in the earlier phases, and how much do you invest later? We want to say something about how we deal with different lengths of contracts. Again, we have these transaction costs linked to everything you do throughout the whole process. But we also have what we call failure costs, file costs now. What are failure costs? If you have certain goals that you want to reach with the procurement, and you do not reach them, you fail. That's a cost. Say, you know, we want to go for Mokleden, and it turns out that it's not Mokleden we had from stuff that you have procured, then you have a loss. That's what we call failure cost. So the idea is that you will always have some failure costs. Nobody is perfect, no system is perfect. On the other hand, if you do nothing, you know for sure that you will fail.